The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine in February of 2022. There's been extensive coverage of Ukrainians seeking protection here in Ireland. Comparatively little attention has focused on the Russian community who live here. The International Organization for Migration estimates there's around 3,000 Russian nationals in Ireland, with significantly more Russian speakers resident, considering the language is also spoken in Moldova, Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia and Ukraine itself. So how has the Russian community managed the isolation of their country while living here? Reporter Simon Tierney has been spending time with an unlikely group of friends who live in Dublin, two Russians and a Ukrainian. Simon, good morning.
Good morning.
An interesting group to find. Why did you sit down with them?
Yeah, so Jonathan, I suppose I'm interested in the idea of separating the people from the country. Russia has been isolated because of Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Western companies have pulled trade. Very few people, of course, travel to Russia anymore, from this part of the world at least. And it's become a pariah state, essentially. Yet Russia isn't a monolith. It's a country of 147 million people. Yet last year's general election showed an 88% landslide win for Putin. Of course, the truth of what Russians really think about their leader is more nuanced. And I wanted to find a group of Russian and hopefully Ukrainian friends who could, I suppose, demonstrate to me a different picture to the binary conflict that the war is often framed as.
Yeah, I mean, it's bound to be an interesting conversation when you get in there, because the only time you hear about Russians here is on that day when they commemorate the end of the Second World War, where they
sometimes drive around
Russian flags. So tell us a little bit about the people you met and their impressions of the war that's waged since 2022.
Sure. Well, I met two Russians, Alexander Kabargin and Leo Yudin, and then their Ukrainian friend, Denis. Now, I won't use Denis's surname, Jonathan, because we need to protect his family's identity. They're still in the occupied territories of Ukraine, specifically the Donbass. And I asked Alex and Leo, who I should say they already lived here when the war began, I asked them to try and remember how they felt when they heard the news that their president had invaded Ukraine on that fateful winter morning in February 2022.
Hi, my name is Leo and I'm from Russia. I live in Ireland since 2021. I came here in September 21, and I remember this day, 24th February, like it was yesterday. I used to work in a bar and I came on my shift, and everyone was saying hi to me, and everyone were in silence as well. And honestly, I felt quite depressed for about half a year.
My name is Alex. I was born in Russia, in Kamchatka. It's the very eastern part of Russia. Almost 10 years I'm here in Ireland. Yeah, I think a lot of us kind of seen that coming in the way that it wouldn't be a big surprise for any of us for this to happen. On the 21st, I was still thinking it's a bluff. I was a bit shocked. I got a text from my friend, 7 a.m. He's Irish, and he asked me, "So, what do you think about the invasion?" And I was still sleeping, and I asked, "What invasion?" And I just kept sleeping. But then I just woke up and I saw the news everywhere. Of course, it was shocking. I called my parents to see if they're okay, because my dad is from Ukraine. So I think for all of our family, it was quite personal tragedy.
And I suppose that would be the question that everybody would ask about the Russians who were living here at the time. How aware were they that Russia was clearly on a road to authoritarianism while they were living there? Or was it a little bit hidden?
Sure. Well, they all invoked Alexei Navalny as a critical turning point for their country, Jonathan. This was, of course, the opposition leader who was a victim of Novichok poisoning and ultimately died in the most tragic of circumstances. I asked Alexander about support for the war at home in Russia in the face of Putin's often insistence that the conflict enjoys broad support in Russia.
It started with Navalny, I think. Even when I was living in Russia, I lived in St. Petersburg, in a big city. There were a lot of protests, so I saw how there's police everywhere and people would just not be able to express themselves without fearing for their freedom being taken away. When you live in this kind of system, inside of it, it's easy to see what liberties they've taken out. They take it bit by bit, so step by step, these little freedoms were taken away, and it got to the point where it started affecting more and more people. So,
do you think that Russia's war in Ukraine enjoys popular support among people in Russia?
I think people accept it as something they cannot change. They probably understand the system is so oppressive, they cannot fight it without significant sacrifices. And in that way, a lot of people have families, they have something to lose. It's all the young people, the students, they're more willing to go out and protest and maybe spend 15 days in jail for the idea, even though they don't really change anything.
It's kind of a grim assessment, isn't it? One of the friends in the group is a Ukrainian who we're just giving his first name, Denis, from Luhansk. He's been living here since 2022, and his story is more interesting because Luhansk has been occupied for a lot longer than just the war that started in 2022.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Luhansk is part of the Donbass region, as I mentioned at the beginning, Jonathan. Most of it's been occupied since pro-Russian separatists took control of it back in 2014 at the same time as the Crimea. And when Luhansk was officially annexed by Putin in late 2022, Denis, the man I spoke with, he found himself sort of caught in the middle of this deadly conflict as a Ukrainian identifying resident of Luhansk. Now, I found Denis to be a very gregarious young man in his late 20s, early 30s. He walks with a cane for reasons which will become apparent shortly. But I began by asking him to describe the city since it was taken over before he then goes on to talk about his escape from Luhansk.
Hello, my name is Denis. I'm from Lugansk. It's close to Russian border. In our region, people speak Russian mostly. It's not because we want to speak Russian. It's just because our government not make any trying to learning us to even our passports in Russian language. Some of my family is still there, and I don't want to speak about this because it's a bit dangerous.
Why is it dangerous?
Because Russian can make a punishment for these people who are not loyal to Russian. These people just disappeared. I live in Lugansk in 2022, and this day it's Russian puppet government closed all borders, and it's impossible to leave this territory, and they starting to kidnap men from street. I hiding for 4 months in basement. When I know I'll be next, because soldiers take my neighbor, and I know neighbor know about me. When they come to my neighbor and take husband of my neighbor, I know I'll be next. And we spend maybe half of all money what we have in family, and they take me to Russian border.
That's kind of terrifying when you hear it explained like that. That was Denis from Luhansk speaking about how he got out, but the two Russian lads, Leo and Alexander, because of where they're from, Simon, have they faced any stigma since the war broke out?
Well, this was the big question for me, Jonathan, and I found them generally upbeat about their experience in Ireland. Thankfully, Alexander has now even gained Irish citizenship. But they were both eager, I suppose, to accept their Russian identity, despite their aversion to what Putin has done in Ukraine. Denis was also keen to emphasise to me that as a Ukrainian, He doesn't see Russians as his enemy. These two other men in the group are his friends. And in fact, he said many members of the Russian community helped him and others to escape from the Donbass to Europe after the war began. Let's listen to Leo and Alexander speaking about their experiences now.
It definitely was a stigma, maybe for, I think, about 2 years. And I even had some situation when I was on a train to Galway. And there was one Irish guy who asked me where I am from, and as soon as I answered that I'm from Russia, he told me to get out of the country. But it was in July 22. Since then, I didn't have much discrimination and anything like this, but...
What about for you, Alexander? I know you're now an Irish citizen, so you might tell me about that as well and when that happened. But have you faced any stigma?
No, I don't think I have. I mean, there are cases online, especially in places like LinkedIn, because I used to work in Poland, so I have a lot of Ukrainian connections on LinkedIn with their colleagues. And they keep reposting things like, oh, you know, ban all Russians, send them back, and all this kind of thing. Of course, it's not nice, but it comes from Ukrainians, and I understand why. But personally, I didn't have any issues, and all the Irish people or all the people I know here, they're all very understanding of the situation. And I never hide where I'm from, even now. I'm an Irish citizen, but if someone asks me, like, where are you from, I would say Russia, because I'm more, like, naturalized Irish, and I'm proud of that. I'm very grateful to get this freedom that Irish people have. I'm really glad I'm here, and I'm a part of this nation.
It's a very different experience, of course, if the two lads, Alexander and Leo, returned home, because there is conscription and an obligation on Russian men, well, not all of them, but the ones who might end up in an unfortunate situation, that they get called up to be sent to the fight in the war in Ukraine.
A real concern for Alexander when I spoke with him. I mean, I think it isn't well enough known that earlier this year, Putin drafted 160,000 new men to the armed forces. This was the largest conscription drive in Russia in 15 years. This is as part of his plan to expand the military to 2.39 million personnel. Now, I asked Alexander, Jonathan, if he would be drafted if he landed back in Russia.
It's hard to say for certain because when the mobilization started in September 2022, they were taking people literally from the streets. These days, I think they try to more lure people in with the big salaries or like promises of some big payouts if they join army. So it's more like...
So there's no conscription? There's no obligation?
There's still conscription, and I think the people who are conscripted, they can be sent to the war, which is against the law, but the law is disregarded these days. Because officially we are not in the war, it's special military operation. So, but I'm too old to be conscripted because I'm over 28. But I would still be cautious because the laws, as I said, they don't mean much, so they can take whoever. You look healthy, you go. That's one of the reasons I don't really want to go back right now.
A listener says, I worked with a Russian guy in my last job. We disagreed a bit when he defended the Russian bombing of the maternity hospital in Mariupol in March of 2022, saying it was a military target. He also used to say that the Russians here are afraid to stand up for Ukraine for fear of retaliation against their families back home. There's a mixed message if ever there was one. What about the mental and physical toll that the war has taken on the people? Obviously, much worse for those living in Ukraine and those who are being forced to fight on behalf of Russia. But what about those who have escaped it and have to look at constant social media with bombings and people being injured and atrocities.
Well, these are young men, Jonathan. And as I said, I was struck that Dennis was walking with a stick. I asked him about this, and it was quite revealing how the mental stress of the war can have a powerful physical manifestation. The war has also had a deep emotional impact on Alexander. You can hear it in his voice. Even he sought therapy after the invasion. And I asked him why the war has affected him so personally.
I think most of people who were against the government, it felt so overwhelming at the time. And the people I know in Russia, including my family, they were very stressed about it. And my mother, the first day I called her, I could hear she was almost crying because of how difficult it was for her.
Dennis, do you mind me asking what happened that you need to use a walking stick?
It's because it's already 11 years in occupied territory, and I live 8 years in this territory. It's because too many stress, too many nerves, it's starting, my immune system starting to eat my joints, and it's every year it's worse and worse. No, and maybe because my father have osteoarthritis, and maybe it's something from family. Now I even don't feel my feet, it's like a numb. Strong pain every day, it's very hard to sleep. I drink many antidepressants and painkillers, and even they don't very well to help with this.
So do you think your stress, your anxiety, is directly linked to what has happened to your country?
I can say it's my life is been destroyed, because all this starting when I end my study in university. I just try to survive. For Ukrainians here, it's don't have a future. Temporary protection is just dead end. It's nothing. It's just we can stay here, but we don't have a future.
Thank you to Dennis from Ukraine, Alexander, and Leo from Russia, speaking to Simon Tierney about the emotional and physical impact that the war has had on their health, and indeed just their general sense of being. When you think about it, we talk about the news all the time about what's happening, but the physical and emotional impact often only comes out after a period. And I think that certainly people living in both of those countries have a long road to recovery when they stop firing at each other.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.